welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Ober, how we doing, my guy?
Very, very good. Ready to get into, you know, an important position. Replaceable, but important.
Yeah, it's one of those positions where it's like, hey, you know, if you have one of the top five, you're in a pretty good spot. But if you're paying him top five money, how good of a spot are you really in? That's right. We're talking about the running backs. It is week two of our, I guess week three, technically, of draft episode. We're breaking down the running back position. We're going to bring our top six from the college level that we, the prospects. It's a very heavy running back class. You can find a lot of good value late in rounds. I don't know about you, but I found it pretty tough to make a top six.
Yes, I did too.
Especially after like the top two.
Right. Like there's a guy missing, you know, it's like, it's sad, you know, but I didn't want to leave him out, but I had to.
It was really tough. It was just, you know, it's like, I feel like this is one of those running back drafts. Someone compared it to 2017, with Christian McCaffrey. I think Alvin Kamara was in that one, where you're going to be able to find some serious talent in the later rounds. So, I'm really interested to see what your list consists of, because I feel like, you know, we look at running back in a very different way. So, yes. So I'm intrigued. Would you like to start off with your number six?
Yeah, my number six running back is Devon Achain, running back out of Texas A&M. And my comp is Isaiah Pacheco. Bit undersized, actually a good bit undersized for Devon Achain, but you know, he has everything you would want out of a very undersized running back. He is lightning quick coming out of the backfield. Probably the fastest running back in this class. It'll be interesting to see how everybody tests. I think his biggest competition will be Deuce Vaughn, who I don't have in my list. Unfortunately, I hate to say that. Just a bit undersized. And, you know, with the other, there's just so many good running backs. Like, it's hard. It's hard to pick between guys. And I really like Devon Achain, and the biggest thing that stood out to me for a guy who was as quick and as agile as Achain is he's so willing to put his head down and fight for the extra yards and run really hard to get first downs or whatever the situation might be. That really impressed me with Achain. And, you know, the only reason why I don't have Meyer on this list is because of the size. And, oh, why does that matter? It's a running back. You know, they can be, you know, as big or whatever it is they want to be, right? Well, at the running back position with the hits you're taking, if you are 5'9", 185, which Achain is, after a while, the injury concerns start to, you know, can your body take those amount of hits? And B, can you be the every down running back that, you know, a Bijan Robinson type of guy is, who we'll get into later? So it's tough for that, but I do like the Isaiah Pacheco comp. They're both smaller, both run hard, both very good athletes. And my grade is mid fourth round, and it's crazy. Like, that's the lowest I have. It's just an extremely deep and talented running back class. And I don't think there will be this number of fourth round running backs taken, fourth round and higher, knowing NFL teams. But I think there should be a middle ground for, when you take running backs. Cause last year it felt like there really wasn't. It was, you know, I think Jerome Ford went in, like, what, the sixth round, and he was, like, the first running back.
I don't know how you guys were able to get him where you were. I mean, it was unbelievable. He was one of my favorite running backs in that class last year. My number six, also Devon Achain. I didn't expect to like him as much as I did watching his film. It was a lot of, holy crap, this guy can move so fluid. His movements are, he doesn't waste them when he's running. It's if he's going to hezzy you, he's going to hezzy you, and he's going to do it very efficiently. And that's something at the running back position. A wasted movement can be the difference between you getting 5 yards and you getting 35 yards. And you saw that a lot with him at Texas A&M in an offense that, you know, is very old school with Jimbo calling the plays there. He was able to turn. He essentially was their offense. Go back and look at the App State game. He was the sole reason that was even a close game. I mean, App State, I think, won that game by, what, 3 was the final score? Like 20-17. Devon Achain scored 14 of those points, or I guess technically 12 of those points. One of them was on a kickoff return. That's the type of player that you are getting. My comp for him is Tavon Austin. They are the exact same size. Achain's probably going to run in the high 4.2s. Tavon Austin ran a 4.31. I just feel like the way you can use Achane is the exact same way that you can use that the Rams used Tavon Austin in the NFL. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, Tavon didn't have a great NFL career. I understand that, but I don't think he was used to the fullest extent, especially because I think he came into the NFL a little bit too early. I mean, we saw gadget players back then, but not to the extent that we're seeing gadget players now. I mean, I think that in the right system, Devon Achane can have, you know, a 1,000 all-purpose yards a season. I think he's that kind of player in the receiving game, being able to run the ball. He's not a between-the-tackles runner. You're going to have to give him the ball on outside zone, outside sweep stuff. I didn't see the power there with him. To me, it was really, he was just trying to go horizontally to avoid, he doesn't break tackles.
There were runs in the Arkansas game where he did a really good job of, you know, getting through defenders.
He just, to me, it just wasn't, He's not going to be a guy that breaks tackles. He's going to be a guy that makes you miss, but arm tackles do get him. At the same time, I came away with it. I'm like, yeah, I would spend a late third on this guy. He is that kind of playmaker. When you talk about, you know, the running back position, especially nowadays when it seems like, you know, they don't have the lifespan that they used to. Devon Achane barely touched the ball in college. And, you know, some of that is because he doesn't have the short yardage acumen that some of the other running backs do, but that's almost a good thing because he's going to have a longer lifespan in the NFL. Plus, I think you can line him up in the slot. He's not quite, you know, the slot receiver that, you know, a Christian McCaffrey or even a Jahmyr Gibbs in this class are going to be, but, you know, he was able to go out in the passing game and make some huge plays for Texas A&M. So I came away really liking Devon Achane. My comp for him is Tavon Austin.
My next player, fifth best, Roschon Johnson, a guy I really, really love. I think the comp is Ezekiel Elliott, which sounds crazy because Ezekiel Elliott was one of the best running back prospects maybe ever, going in the top 10 to the Cowboys, obviously. But I would more compare him to kind of, you know, that like middle ground, not his rookie season, but kind of like third year where it's like doesn't quite have the surge, yep. Doesn't quite have the quick burst, and he doesn't. He doesn't have the surge or the burst or even the agility of a guy like Bijan Robinson, but he does all the little things very well. He is a tough runner. He is a physical runner. Falls forward, fights forward for yards like Zeke kind of did, you know, when he was just a bit past his prime. Was still a, you know, really good weapon in the passing game. Has a lot of upside as a pass blocker with his size, and did some of that and did a good job of that at Texas.
Yep.
But it just comes down to, listen, he doesn't have the balance. He doesn't have, you know, the Tyjae Spears where it's, you know, insane, just make a guy miss out in space, electric, dynamic, you know, runner. But he does all the little things really well. Ball security's there. So just a lot to like, and really not a lot of red flags with Roschon Johnson.
No, and I heard someone, because he's my number 7 running back. I really wanted to put him at 6. I had him at 6, and I watched Devon Achane. I was like, ugh. Because Roschon doesn't have the home run ability, but you're exactly right. He might have one of the highest floors out of any running back in this class. You know exactly what you're going to get when you draft him, and it's going to be a damn good running back. At least a backup running back. I don't know if he has, you know, insane starter upside, but there's nothing keeping him from being like a Chris Carson in the NFL, where he just kind of sticks around, barring injuries. You know, people think of him as, hey, you know, this guy's a really good running back, but he might never be, you know, the elite level, just because he doesn't have the, you know, elite athletic traits. But you mentioned it. He's a great pass blocker. He can go out. He can be an every down back for a team, even though he isn't this insane player. My number 5 is actually Zach Charbonnet, UCLA running back. The tough thing with Zach Charbonnet when I was watching him is that there were flashes of like, oh my God, this kid can absolutely run. And there was like, well, it looks like his feet are stuck in the mud on that run. And there was one run in Colorado that really sticks out of my mind. He got through the first two levels clean. He was one-on-one with the safety. And he does like this triple juke move and leaves the Colorado safety in the dust. I was like, where did that come from? Because yeah. I watched him, I think it was the South Alabama game. He straight up could not make a guy miss. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. He comes back the very next game, Colorado, and he's shaking dudes left and right. It's like, I don't know how from 1 week you can go from that to this. But my comp for him is DeMarco Murray. They both run really upright. They're not the fastest guys. I think they're DeMarco Murray's about a low 4.4. I think Zach Charbonnet is probably going to be in the, you know, low 4.5 to mid 4.4 area. Couldn't find a consistent time on his 40. But they have the ability to go horizontally, but they really want to run through you. That's the, that's where they make their bread and butter, is by going north and south, getting north and south. And they both have great vision, too. You talk about the patience, the footwork at the line to see the hole and then break. I think he's kind of got a lot of that DeMarco Murray in him. I don't know if his ceiling is, you know, DeMarco Murray, because DeMarco Murray was he an All-Pro one year?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if Zach Charbonnet quite gets there. But the similarities in run style and size was just too much for me to ignore. I have him as like a late third round grade. Roshan Johnson, I had a fourth round grade on. I think that's probably his sweet spot.
I do too.
I think Charbonnet is probably like a late third. I'd be shocked if he went any higher, just because he also doesn't have, like, that's the thing about running back, is you really only take a guy in the late first, second round if he's got home run hitting ability. And I Zach Charbonnet isn't that guy. So unfortunately, you know, like you said, or like I said earlier, really deep running class, but like you said, it's a lot of late round guys. Right. You're not, there's not too many at the top, and it's like, yeah, let me get that guy, just because the home run hitting potential isn't there. You're four.
My four is Chase Brown. Oh, by the way, DeMarco Murray was first team All-Pro in 2014.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Chase Brown, late third round pick. My comp is Raheem Mostert. After some thought,
that's a good one.
Has a ton of speed, especially in his senior year. I didn't see a lot of it in 2020, 2021, but this year, oh my gosh, insane speed. Insane, like, I don't even know how to say it, but like a lot of running backs, when they route run, it feels like the speed doesn't translate. Like, it's almost not really, like it's second nature. They don't really, it's kind of just like not really there. With Chase Brown, it totally was there this year. With those wheel routes, he just immediately had the burst to blow by linebackers or even, you know, slower safeties who were trying to guard him, and those seemed automatic against some weaker competition. So that I like a lot. I think, you know, he isn't the biggest guy in the world. I think 5'11", 205 was the size, but still has, you know, the power in his running game. Mm-hmm. Just a really pure runner.
Yep.
And a lot to like with Chase Brown. I would say third round grade.
For him. That's about what I have on him. I do think that you could possibly go second round, late second round with him, but I had, you know, see, that Raheem Mostert pick is a good comp. I like that one. I came up with a Jamal Williams that is faster and has lighter feet. Because Jamal Williams is going to run, or ran a 4, I think it was a 4.52 or 4.53. So he's not, I mean, he doesn't have the straight line speed that Chase Brown does, where Chase Brown is probably going to run low 4.4s. It might even crack it. But the way they ran, it was the, you know, it was, it, they weren't gonna shake you out of your shoes, but it was right. like the little footwork things. It was like, you know, a little hezzy step there, or, you know, a little like just one cut and go. It was like one those type of runs. It's like I saw a lot of, you know, Jamal Williams, where he's kind of got this, you know, upright running style, but you're gonna need like three guys to tackle him. And that's what I saw when I was watching Chase Brown. It was like he would just run through arm tackles left and right. Saw it in the Michigan game firsthand, where he made that. He was, I think he ran for the most yards on Michigan. I don't know if the TCU game would have changed that, but during the regular season, Chase Brown had like 150 yards on Michigan, and nobody else cracked 100.
Right.
His ability to find space where there isn't and just kind of wiggle through those holes, I came away really impressed with him. He to me, he is an inside, you know, inside outside zone runner. I don't know if he's a great gap runner, just because I feel like where he's really good is he's got good ball carrier vision. He's able to find those holes. And, you know, a gap runner is a little bit easier, just because the hole's there. If the hole's there, the hole's there. With inside zone, you have to have that ball carrier vision. I think he's got it. I came away really, really impressed with Chase Brown and his ability to make guys miss, but do it in a way that still allowed him to keep his power.
Yeah. The only thing with Chase Brown, like, it isn't, you know, for a guy his size, if there's you know, something that it's like, oh, well, all these are great, why isn't he, you know, a first round type of guy? It's like, for his size, he isn't the Barry Sanders, woo,
no.
You know,
no. It's exactly
jump
what
cut,
is.
Whatever.
this guy is, Tyjae Spears. Yeah. You know, when you mentioned him and said you loved him so much, I didn't really get it. And then I turned it on, you know, his stuff, and it's like, yeah, all right, there you go.
I'm glad you finally seen the light.
As a runner, just absolutely incredibly agile, insane at making guys miss. It seems like he can go from one end of the field to the other, immediately finding the hole and can get there because he's incredibly fast and incredibly quick. Those two things kind of get mixed up a little bit. Fast is just straight line speed. DK Metcalf, I can run a 4.3 at, you know, this size and just be insane, you know, just woof. And then quickness is just, you know, little steps, making subtle movements just to make, you know, linebackers or whoever it is who's trying to tackle you get juked out of their shoes. And Tyjae Spears did it again and again and again at Tulane. Maybe it was because he was playing in the American, but holy cow. I mean, holy cow. He was fantastic. The issue is he is, I think, 5'10", 190.
Yeah, he's 195, I think is what I saw.
So, one of the smaller running backs, like Jahmyr Gibbs, is a bigger running back than Tyjae Spears, and even Jahmyr Gibbs. My notion was he's a bit undersized, you know, going into watching his stuff. So being that size and not really being, he doesn't have a huge route tree at all, especially compared to Jahmyr Gibbs, even Bijan Robinson. I think coming out of the backfield has some more routes that he runs, but. You know, as a runner and as a ball carrier, I think you can make the argument he's the most difficult to take down. Or just one-on-one in space, make the tackle. Mm-hmm. I think he might be the most difficult. It just seems like time and time and time again, he's making that last guy miss and then popping off a huge run. So I think my comp, this was really, really difficult, the one I sweated over the most, but I said Travis Etienne. Ooh. Totally reminds me of that as a runner. The issue is Etienne was one of the best pass catchers I've ever seen coming out of college, and Spears isn't there. But, you know, and it's not even like, oh, Tyjae Spears doesn't have hands. He has hands. It's just we haven't seen, you know, the insane arsenal of routes that McCaffrey ran or Travis Etienne ran. So my grade is a third round for him, but as a ball carrier, there's no chance he busts. I mean,
yeah, no, and that's the thing about Tyjae Spears is that at Tulane they didn't ask him to run routes, and then he did it at the Senior Bowl and was absolutely breaking dudes' ankles, and so he has that in him. It's just about, you know, why didn't they use it at Tulane? What about Willie Fritz's system that didn't allow them to use him as a pass catcher? Because you watch the Senior Bowl tape and it's like, why isn't this guy, you know, flexed out in the slot a couple times and running some whip routes? Because he was busting dudes. And, you know, the thing, I loved him because I started watching Tulane towards the end of the season. And that was the name that just kept popping up. It was Tyjae Spears. And it's like this kid, like you mentioned, the slipperiest dude. I don't know if he ever gets tackled, like, one-on-one. It seems to me, like, at least watching, you know, the cut-up that I did, it was like every time he's one-on-one, he's at least going to make the guy, he might get tripped up, but the guy's still going to look like a fool that's trying to tackle him. The one thing that is a question is his size. Can he be a consistent running back in the NFL at 195 pounds? I'm not sure, but I think that, you know, given his play style and how he avoids contact, I think it's there. My comp for him, and this is going to sound crazy, Jamaal Charles. Straight line speed, they are the exact same. They're 40 times. Tyjae was low 4.3, so was Jamaal Charles. And I went back and watched Jamaal Charles play, and I was like, you know, this does kind of look like Tyjae. I will say that Jamaal had a little bit more upright power.
More physical.
Than Tyjae did. But it was the quick bursts in that tight, confined space. It was like, yeah, those guys really run similarly within like 2 yards of a defender. It's like the jump cuts, the, you know, quick jabs. It was like, okay, I see a lot of it there. Do I think that Tyjae will ever get to the level of Jamaal Charles? Probably not. No. A, it's a different NFL, and B, Jamaal Charles did put his shoulder down and run through guys at certain points, which I just don't think Tyjae is capable of doing. They are, surprisingly, Jamaal Charles is like the exact same size. I was like, really? Yeah, Jamaal Charles was 5'11", I think 200.
Okay.
Tyjae was 5'10", 195, 190. And so it was like, You know, I was a little bit surprised to see that just because Jamaal Charles looks like he fills out his pads more right. than Tyjae did. But if you, I mean, if you want to go, and yes, it's USC, but if you want to see what Tyjae is really about, go watch his USC game. I mean, the USC defense isn't good by any means. But what he was able to do against guys that have the talent, because you mentioned that he was playing in the American, and you know how good is that competition? You can even against Kansas State, he was still able to get some. It wasn't his best game, but you know he was still able to get some good carries in there. But USC is where my eyes were like, boom, this kid is legit. I think he's a second round talent. I really do. It's just, you know, what do you do with a running back who might have 6 years in the league at his size and stature, who we haven't seen him in game be able to have a full route tree. Because, like, my thing with Christian McCaffrey was always like, okay, when he's done as a running back, he can move to the slot and be fine. Yeah. I don't know if that's the case with Tyjae Spears, but I can't wait. Just loving him even more than I do now. So,
Jahmyr Gibbs is my RB2. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. This is... I feel like I almost forgot, like, having not watched Alabama football in a couple of months, but this kid could absolutely yes. play. Insane burst. That I noticed a lot. It takes him, like, 0.2 seconds to accelerate. And when he does, he's already at top speed and just blowing away defenders. And a lot of times we're talking about SEC speed, SEC competition, and in these games he's just making these guys look like Swiss cheese
yep.
with how quick he accelerates. Fantastic route runner, probably the best in the class. My comp is Alvin Kamara and Duke Johnson. I think he runs like Alvin Kamara. Reminds me of the pass catcher that Duke Johnson was, and I think there's a lot of, oh, Duke Johnson, he was that bust with the Browns, right? kind of, but I mean, there were a couple of years there in his prime
yeah.
when he was an insane receiving
One
back.
One of the best pass catchers in the league.
Right, and an insane runner out in space. I see him as the runner that Alvin Kamara was and the pass threat that Duke Johnson was, and that creates an insane combo and, yep. and dynamic there. So I think I said second round grade for him, just based on how running backs go. It's going to be tough for him to creep into the first round. I would be surprised if he gets there. Yeah. But a lot to like about Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah, very high on him.
Yeah, no, I made fun of the Christian McCaffrey comp a lot, and then I went back and watched Christian McCaffrey at Stanford. I was like, God, these two do run very similarly. I will say Christian McCaffrey is a lot more physical than Jahmyr is. There's no question about that. I don't know if Jahmyr is going to be a great between the tackles runner. I still don't think Christian McCaffrey is, but he's capable of doing it at Jahmyr's size and his thin, slender frame that it seems like every single Alabama player has now. On the offensive side yep. of the ball, I mean, you talk about Devontae Smith, Bryce Young, they're just very slender. I don't think he's going to be an every down back, just because I don't think he can
right, that,
be
that
the
hurts him too.
Between the tackles runner. But when you talk about as a receiver, when you talk about on the edges, he might be the best running back in the class at those two things. I mean, his ability to catch the pass, like you mentioned, and get upfield in a matter of, you know, just half a second, and all of a sudden he's, you know, 15 yards down the field because it's like a lightning bolt. It is truly something that, you know, I don't think we've seen in recent draft classes. Right. It's just, I think he had, I think he was the leading receiver for Alabama last year. Whew. I think. I'll have to double check that, but it seems like there were games where he was. Alabama, let me see. Alabama receiving leaders stats. There we go. 2022. Let's see his stats. So he had about 926 yards rushing and only 151 carries.
Whew.
So his legs are still fresh. Okay, he wasn't. He was the third leading receiver. He had the most catches of anybody on the team.
Gotcha.
444 yards. Jermaine Burton had 677. So check downs,
right,
are gonna hurt you a little bit, but you know, the fact that Bryce Young trusted him enough, and you know, watching his tape too, it was like he knew exactly when he needed, because it would be a release, so he'd block a little bit, he'd chip, and then he'd release. He knew exactly where he needed to go. It's not just that he's a good pass catcher, but he has the IQ to know where to sit in zones, know where the window is, when he needs to go somewhere, how to help his quarterback, and that's something that's going to really translate to the next level, which I think that he can even become a slot receiver at some point down his career. I mean, that's what I saw, was the ability to be able to, you know, catch passes, was the ability to be able to, you know, understand zone concepts and sit in windows. I don't think you can cover a man-to-man. He's so shifty. Like, I noticed that a lot with a lot of these running backs, is that they're really good in small spaces at getting out and making guys miss. Jameer was one of those. I just, you know, to me, it was kind of tough to find a comp for him just because his frame, it didn't really match up with a lot of other players that had a ton of success in the NFL. But I think he's going to be a guy that does. So I was like, how can I, you know, correlate or get across the fact that this kid is really good, but he's also, you know, kind of like Bryce Young, he's got some size questions. If he goes to the right system where he's not having to run between the tackles, I think he'll be great. But it's a little bit different than our number one guy and his abilities.
Bijan Robinson, my number one running back. As big of qualms as I've had about Bijan, even I have to admit, yeah, he's the best running back in this class, and by a fairly wide margin. As good as I think he is, and I'll go into that, I think he's a late first-round pick. I like him a lot. I don't think he's a generational talent, and that's what you have to be a top-10 pick or even a top-5 pick in some cases. Listen, insane balance, you know, that doesn't get talked about enough. And what does that mean? It's all right, some defenders on your back, or you lose your 2 feet on the ground, you got to stay on your feet, be able to, you know, keep motoring through and trying to keep going. I like that about Bijan. Love his footwork. Extremely agile. Probably the best ball carrier vision in the entire class. A ton of pass catching upside for a guy his size is very, you know, surprising. And what that reminded me of, a bell cow running back that could do all of that, was prime Jonathan Taylor. When you go back to last year, last couple of years.
Prime Jonathan Taylor, as if he's not like 24 years old.
Right. Yeah. But like, he was so bad last year, everyone's going to be like, oh, wow, you're just a hater. But like, when you go back to his years when he ran for 1,800 yards rushing, he was the best running back in the league. And
yes. I also think that Bijan offers more pass catching upside than Jonathan Taylor does.
Yeah. And what I was going to say to that was, like, he caught for 400 had 400 yards receiving that year. So when he was at his best, he was doing everything for the Indianapolis Colts and had the insane, you know, big play home run ability that Bijan Robinson also has. So that would be my comparison. I like Bijan. I don't think he is, you know, Derrick Henry 2.0 or anything like that. I think there are a lot of games where he was quieted because he couldn't make that one guy miss, or, you know, just power over that one guy. The one thing, you know, I saw a lot of times was it seemed like he was running too high when he needed to just kind of, you know, like Roshan does, put his head down, get 3 yards, get 4 yards, take his medicine, do what he needs to do. It just seemed like in the TCU game, you know, that I always harp on, you know, it's, oh, I'm going to try and, you know, be really high and pop this off for a home run. It's like, it's not there. It's just not there. And there's not really a lot you can do about that. But I, at the end of the day, you know, some team will coach him up and he'll be a great running back, and he's worthy of a first round pick.
Yeah, I do agree with you that he's not a generational talent, but I do think that he's the best running back prospect we've seen since probably Saquon. It is, because it's the things that you can't teach, the contact balance that really, it, like you mentioned, that really sets apart a running back is their ability to take a hit and stay on their feet. And you saw that a lot with Bijan. It was, you know, a majority of the time you needed two or three guys to take him down. But it felt like almost a little too much. You could tackle him with one. And a lot of that was because he's running upright. He doesn't lower his shoulder a ton. And you know, you're going to nitpick a guy like Bijan because he's so good. You have to find out, okay, well, why isn't this guy a top 10 talent? And the reason is because he doesn't run physically. And it's like, wait, really? His legs are huge. He's got broad shoulders. Why doesn't he run physically? I think it's just because he doesn't want to. But like you mentioned, the ball carrier vision, his ability to see four different holes at the same time, and he'll see one hole and then he'll know exactly, you know, what cut he needs to make outside of that. And once again, that's something that you can't teach. All the intangibles at running back that make you a A-tier product at that position, he has. He doesn't have the straight line speed. He gets caught a little bit. But what I will say is his footwork is unbelievable. There was a play against, I think it was Baylor, that he... I almost wish I could like show it to you guys because me describing it isn't going to do it justice. He sees a hole. It closes down. He turns. So he's going north. He turns east, takes one step, gets the defender to bite, and goes back north. It only gets him like 5-6 yards. But that the ability to do that and not lose essentially any time is elite level stuff, which is why I think that, you know, Bijan is a first round talent. You know, to me, I see a lot of LeSean McCoy in his game. The ability to make a guy miss with cuts, you know, it's the elite, you know, one cut, boom, gone. It's the, you know, maybe he dances a little bit and all of a sudden the defender's in the dust. LeSean McCoy didn't run with power. Bijan really doesn't run with power either. I think that...
Frustratingly.
Exactly. Very frustratingly. I think that Bijan works really well in a zone scheme. He doesn't work in a gap scheme because he can see those holes in the zone that allow him to avoid defenders. Gap scheme, you're basically telling him, you're telling your running back, hey, we need, you know, X amount of yards here. You put your head down and go get it. You can't really stray away from a gap scheme, whereas the zone scheme is a lot more independent for the running back to decide where they want to go. And so at the end of the day, yes, Bijan is a first-round player for me. It's just some of the things that you can't teach, he's got, and he does them really freaking well. But at the same time, he's not Saquon Barkley. And I see that comp all the time, and I can kind of see it. He's not nearly as fast straight line as Saquon is. He doesn't run with as much power as Saquon does. He's not as explosive as Saquon, which is crazy to say. But guys, I don't think you understand how explosive Saquon Barkley really is. Go back and like watch him at Penn State. Watch his workouts. He is hang cleaning 400 pounds.
Mm.
Like that's not something you should be able to do. And yeah, Bijan looks like he can. I'm telling you right now, he is not Saquon Barkley. Size-wise, probably they're the same, right? But the one thing that I think Bijan lacks is that elite-level explosiveness that Saquon has. His footwork is really good in his stop-start. He just doesn't have the, you know, let me jump over you or right. Let me, you know, pound and go. So... I think it's a really intriguing running back class. I think you have a top two, and I think the top two is Bijan and Jameer. I think everybody's going to have that. I don't know what people are going to have the rest of the way, but I think you could see a couple of these guys sneak up into the earlier rounds just because, you know, more teams are starting to realize, hey, maybe we shouldn't pay a running back
right.
And find a guy in the draft that that can, especially a draft like this, where, you know, we didn't even talk about guys like Sean Tucker or Deuce Vaughn
right.
Or Zach Evans like or Dwayne McBride out of UAB. It's like we didn't talk about those guys, but they're damn good players too. So very interested to see. I think this is going to be one where we come back after the combine and look at, you know, okay, did they actually run the 40 we expected right. them to? How was their... You know, their 5-10-5, their shuttle, how is their 3-cone, just to see that kind of short area explosiveness. Vertical jump and broad jump are going to be big there too. Like, I got to go back and look at Saquon's RAS score because I don't know if he actually participated in the combine.
I don't think so.
But I'd be interested to see, like, what he would do for the broad jump.
I'm trying to think about that. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Forget. Can you look that up to see if he did?
Yeah, because I would love to compare the two. After the combine this year, let's see.
But no, I think you're right. It's tough because Saquon Barkley was just that, just such insane combination of size and athleticism that we really
9.97.
Yeah, unbelievable.
See. He ran
4.4.
He had a 41 inch vert.
Oof.
He ran a 4.2. He ran a 4.2 4.5 10.5. He didn't run the 3-cone. He didn't broad jump. He ran a 4.4 40 with a 2.57 split or a 20-yard split and a 1.54 10-yard split. I mean, just everywhere,
absolute dude.
And he benched 290 yep. or not 290. He benched 29 times, 229
reps.
That's insane. Short arms. You got short arms.
Uh-oh. Can't play defensive end.
No, he was 6 foot 233 coming out. That's unbelievable.
Ooh. 6 foot 233?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, guys, Bijan isn't like that.
No.
So as much as you're going to see...
He's going to run a 4-5.
As much as you're... Really, you think so?
I think so, yeah. 4-4-9. Isn't that what I said? 4-4-8.
That is true, yeah. The connotation between 4-5 and 4-4, it's like even if it's a 4-4-8, it feels better than 4-5. Right. Even though 4-5 is still insanely fast. Like let's not lose that. Let's not let that get lost in translation.
Yeah.
But when you see the Bijan to Saquon comp, take it with a grain of salt. It's just, you know, to me, it's the draft media trying to get clicks and being like, oh, look at Bijan. You know, he's this insane player. And so that when Bijan goes, you know, either late first round or early second round, you're like, oh my gosh, we just got the next Saquon Barkley for a great price. It's like, well, not really. I mean, he's not quite the player. Hopefully he can stay healthy or be healthier than Saquon.
Yeah.
But on the field, he's not going to be Saquon Barkley. It's just not the case. So, yeah, I thought that was... I thought it was pretty good. I'm a little bit surprised that we had essentially the exact same rankings. The only difference was I had Zach Charbonnet 5, you had Roschon Johnson.
Yep.
That was it.
Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised by that. You good?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe we could do defensive ends next or Quentin, maybe tight ends. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Well, we'll keep it a surprise. It's going to be one of those three positions, either corner, tight end, or defensive end.
Yeah.
very weird combo. I think corner would be an interesting one.
Anything but lines, you know, no, or
interior D line and no offensive line. Oh, Obert and his hate for the big guys up front. It's unbelievable.
Physical guys, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
They're not athletes. We all know that they're not athletes.
It's unbelievable. They're more athletes than you are.
I run a 4-4 asterisk.
I believe it was like a 5-3, but it is what it is. Okay, thank you so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.